Welcome to Brown Town. We're three Asian Americans who love talking politics, pop culture, and popping bottles. We've been gone.
We've actually all been here. We've just been busy.
Yes, we've been busy. But we're back, you know. But the news has been just chugging along, so
no shortage of news.
Yeah,
it didn't wait for us.
Yeah, no. But anyway, so let's just talk about what's everyone been up to. Chat.
Last week I saw My Fair Lady at Lincoln Center. Had a grand time.
Wait, this is the one where this teacher works on this woman's like accent.
Yeah, it takes place in Britain, and she is of like lower class, mm-hmm. and has a Cockney accent, and he's like very wealthy and has like a very proper accent. He's a professor, and he like makes a bet with another professor that in 6 weeks I could have her like acting so proper that she could convince people she's like the Princess of Wales or some shit like that.
Mm.
And so they make a bet.
Was it?
And she was training her.
Was it a good play?
It was great. I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. How much was it?
It was $97 mm-hmm. at Lincoln Center. There was like only two options. It was either $100 or $200.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if they do a lottery or not. Mm. We should look it up if they do a lottery. If they do a lottery, everyone should definitely try to go see it. Or if you have money.
Yeah. No, but a friend of mine is visiting this weekend, and we're talking about seeing like a play or something.
Mm. It's so, I don't know if you've been to Lincoln Center, mm-hmm. but it's a really, really great venue. And like, it's a really small theater. It's pretty intimate. So there's not really a bad seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like a pretty small theater. And like the stage like comes out into the audience.
Hmm.
So nice. There's not really a bad seat there. And it was, I don't know, it was great. It was really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Neeks?
I'm pretty excited. I'm actually heading to Austin this weekend for like a little college reunion. I know you've been. What did you think of Austin?
I really liked it. I spent a lot of time on 6th Street, which is where everyone gets
drunk. The
Dirty
Six?
Six.
Everybody's calling it. Really.
The Dirty Six. And I went to this one bar where every single drink, no matter what drink it was $1.
Is that called $1 you call it? That's literally
I don't think it was called that. But it was also the week. It was also the week where all the bikers were in town because there was like a biking convention. So there
like
was
a biker
all these
motorcycle.
Like biker gang, like people who look like they were biker gang.
It was a cyclist convention.
But like literally all the women were like really excited in the bars being like, all the bikers are in town, and like they're just all rolling around with their bikes, and like they all had beards. They literally looked like out of like Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, cool.
But it was a really fun time because the food in Austin is really good.
Okay.
It's amazing because the food is like Tex-Mex, and like they have a lot of weird like fusion stuff, and like there's lots of food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. It was like during the summertime. It was really, really fun.
How did you feel about the people?
Austin's like a weird, funny place because it's still like Texan, but like
progressive.
Liberal. Yeah, it's like a kind of jarring. It's weird. Like, no, I mean like, so I also spent time in Houston. I'm specifically talking about the white people. It was weird to meet white people who were like Texan wearing cowboy hats, but like more liberal. Because when I was in Houston and when I hung out with the white people in Houston, they were the Trump voters, you know, before Trump was Trump. Because I went before Trump was elected. Oh, God. Thank God I didn't go afterwards. That would have been a fucking nightmare. But yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not going there. I'm really excited. I really want to go. I'm there to try like barbecue and to also try line dancing.
Oh my God, yes. Line dancing will be really fun. They have so many line dancing clubs.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I didn't decide what I was going to say, but I'm going to say it right now. So I went to a Thom Yorke concert. I took my partner there. I bought her tickets for, I bought us tickets for her birthday, and she really loves Radiohead, so he's like doing his solo tour right now. And okay, I know everybody loves Radiohead, but it's just like not my thing. It's just, yeah, it's just like not my thing. And like, I can appreciate some of the rockier songs when it's live, but like, I just like don't like listening to it on my headphones. And I thought, I'd never listened to Thom Yorke solo stuff, so I felt like, oh, it'll be the same, but like, you know, whatever, it's music, I'll enjoy it, and like, if my partner loves it, then it'll be fun. And it was actually really cool. So it was in the King's Theater in Brooklyn, which is like a beautiful theater, inside, and Thom Yorke, like, there was like really cool visuals, and he had a DJ, and it was basically EDM, but with Thom Yorke's vocal doing weird loopy things.
Oh,
it was like
cool.
It was like cool.
Yeah,
I was like, this is interesting. So yeah, it was good. It was good. He also did the whole soundtrack to this new horror movie that's gonna come out called what, Suspiria or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's this new, and like he played some of those, and it was actually really cool.
You know, so, an aside for something that I did over Thanksgiving break was we got a cabin in the woods with a bunch of friends, and my friends made me watch a horror movie about a cabin in the woods while we were in a cabin in the woods.
Oh God!
Big mistake.
Sounds like my worst
nightmare. Was it Cabin in the Woods?
No, it was. Oh. Well, I don't even think I'm such like a coward that I thought this movie was really scary, but I honestly think most people think it's a thriller. Have you seen Hush? Mm-mm. It's about this woman who's deaf and mute in a cabin in the woods, and there's like a serial killer trying to get in, and it like is basically her protected herself and this house, but being deaf and mute and so having a complete disadvantage.
Okay, spoiler alert for everybody. I'm about to ask what happens at the end. What happens at the end?
Wait, do we really want to say this in front of everybody?
Yes!
I just gave them a heads up. She ends up killing him.
Nice. Yay,
go her.
Yeah, but okay. Loses quite a few friends in the process.
All right. Well, all right, well, so let's move on to our news section. Because there's so pop, much pop. To talk about. Okay, we're really talking about very random specific things because these days everything's going wrong. So it's just, you know, you just gotta pick the ones that sound kind of good or sound kind of fun. Sound kind of random.
This is neither fun or good.
No, this is not fun or good. Yeah, but
tell us everyone what our first fun topic of the night is.
Okay, we're gonna talk about the Christian missionary killed by people on the North Senegal Island. Know about that, guys?
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, so for everyone that doesn't know, basically, this American Christian missionary named John Allen Chow, he, like, went to a tiny little, like, island that's isolated from civilization in India, and native people live there, native to that island, and they have never been introduced to, like, modern civilization, so, like, you know, they haven't been vaccinated or anything, or haven't been exposed to diseases, so, like, they just don't have like immunity to diseases like we do. And so there are literal legal like sanctions in India protecting them. They're like a protected class of people, and like no, people can't just go there. The government doesn't even go there. And basically he decided that it was his life's mission to convert this people to Christianity. So he planned this trip for like 3 years. And then went to this island. And the moment those people saw him, they, like, speared him and killed him. Because, like, he's an enemy. Like, so he just literally just swam. Context, he just came on a canoe or some shit.
He did not get killed on his first attempt. It was reported by, like, fishermen that he, like, attempted to go to the island and, like, fled when they all shot arrows at him.
He left the island
and then came back? Yeah, he, like, never made it to shore because they started shooting arrows at him as soon as it got close. And then decided to, like, try again later.
How far, like, how much time lapsed in between those tries?
I think, like, a day.
Is he a fucking... Okay, yeah, he's obviously a fucking dumbass.
So he came back a second time and he got...
Yeah, he went back and he went back... He, like, would try to, like, bring gifts like a soccer ball or some shit.
Seriously, like, I don't even know, but just, like, talk about, like, some Christian savior bullshit. But... I mean, we're used to that. But anyway...
I mean, he's putting the entire population in danger by just showing up there. So I understand, like, their hostility.
Yeah. And, like, I feel bad for his family, but, like, honestly, he knowingly made this decision. And that's why when it first came out, they were like, oh, like, a police... I think a police report got filed by his family. But the police were like, we can't investigate them because legally we're not allowed to. Like, and we can't, like... It's just, like, not gonna happen.
I don't think,
like,
they can even go to the island to get his body.
Like, yeah. No, they can't. Yeah. They can't get, like, the body. And, like, yes, it's sad for the family, but, like, you have to just, like, accept that this was his fault, and this is, like, one of those things that...
I mean, if, the consequence if of someone election. Tells you, Ishmam, if you go to this island, you will die, because they will kill you.
I'm not gonna
just
go.
Just don't go. Just don't go. If you go, it's your fault.
Yeah, like, why the fuck would I go?
Yeah.
And also, it's not even that... If somebody told me, oh, if you go to this island with 150 people that are, like, kids and, like, people, and if you go there, they could all die because you'll expose them to diseases, I'd be like, I'm definitely not gonna go because I don't want to fucking kill 150 yeah. people. He literally didn't give a fuck about their lives yeah. because he knew about this. He researched it. He thought about it for 3 years, and then he did it.
Mm-hmm. He thought bringing the word of God was more important, is what it was.
Yeah. So, basically...
That also, was that. Also, he was Asian.
I know.
Which is like... I don't know. Because... When I
he
mean,
was this is the part of the show which is we talk about Asian people's stupidity.
Well, it's like, who amongst us did not imagine a white guy when they read this headline?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I imagined a white guy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this dude is white, and I clicked the link. But honestly, like,
Asian people are adjacent to whiteness, white stupidness, so much that I guess that doesn't surprise me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I guess so.
Like Dinesh D'Souza. Oh, God. He got pardoned.
Did he?
By Trump. For his, like, whatever fraud that he did. Like, some sort of finance fraud, campaign fraud. Yeah, he got pardoned. Anyway. So, well, I do have some stupidity by white people. But
my
I don't
favorite
know
kind.
I don't know if they're going
to,
like...
Do tell.
I don't know if they're going to, like, face any consequences, though. Because it's a whole country.
It's probably not.
Probably not then.
So, Denmark is basically... I just read this today. A friend sent it... Not a friend. Our producer sent it over to me today, so I thought it should get a
little... A producer,
action.
Not a friend.
We are friends with our producers. Friends first.
But, just talk about yourself. So, basically... I don't know how much traction this is going to get. So, like, you know, for our... 20, maybe 10 or 5 listeners that are out there. Maybe you can spread the word. So spread the word. Denmark is building a facility on a remote island off its shore to send refugees with previous criminal convictions or like a previous criminal record for them to live on this island. They're literally isolating them on an island to make them not want to be in Denmark anymore. They have to live on that island.
Is the facility a prison?
So they're saying it's not a prison, but that they have to live there.
So it's a prison.
And then, so the immigration minister literally helped pass this bill, and the immigration minister was basically like, we're going to make them feel so unwelcome here by isolating them on an island, mm-hmm. and we're going to make the ferry trips and like the way to get out of the island so expensive and so hard to do that they won't be able to leave the island and that they'll just want to go back to their home country. But this is not a prison.
Sounds like one.
Hmm.
And so like the Danish government is becoming more and more right wing over time, you know, just kind of like following the trend in Europe. And basically before, so I studied abroad in Denmark, and I remember during that time, there was a lot of racism and a lot of Islamophobia, and like obviously it's escalated at this point, but even then their policy was integration, which is when people come in, they have to learn Danish and they have to like integrate with people, and like they have to like live their life more secularly, which is still very fucking racist, because it shouldn't be integration being assimilation, it shouldn't be that way. It should just be like everybody adapts to however people want to live.
Right.
Now they publicly said, the immigration minister was like, we don't have an integration policy anymore. The policy is that refugees aren't immigrants. When refugees come, the goal should be to how to get back to their country.
Mm.
How do we get them to a situation where they can get back to their country? So like, whatever, it's just like really fucked up, because clearly people are refugees because there's like they have a war-torn country,
right,
and like they can't go back, but like they won't have a path to like immigration or citizenship anymore. And they also introduced a burqa bill recently, being a ban of a burqa bill, you know how they did that in France. So they introduced that, and yeah, they're just chugging along on their racist path, those white people.
It feels to me like this is like a global trend, because it's been happening in Europe. I mean, most notably with Brexit, you know, that was a really big one.
Those people are fucked.
You know, it's obviously happening here. It's happening in Canada with that, like that. Remember like the Toronto mayor, Rob Ford, his like brother is like, I'm not even sure like what he's called, but he's like, not mayor, but he's like in charge of like a province in Canada, and he is incredibly like right wing and like nationalist, and he's like gaining like a lot of like followers in Canada. The new president in Brazil is incredibly like right wing and nationalist.
Is the fucking worst. He's like super homophobic and like super sexist and literally a horrible human
being. It just seems like everything I read about like globally just seems like everything is kind of going that direction.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what it's a result of. I'm not really sure. Like, it almost feels like it's in backlash to something, but I'm not really sure what the backlash is from.
But it's also really interesting, though, because it's also, like, not only are the places that are either more, like, capitalistic or, like, kind of, like, or maybe, you know, not as rich countries, like, yeah, they're going more right-wing or they're becoming more conservative, like, you would think Scandinavia, who, like, put so much money into human rights stuff, because they do. Their governments give a lot of, like, grants to, like, human rights organizations. Like, they are doing it, too. I mean, it's not surprising why people be white, like, in every country. But, like, it's just really interesting, because, like, racism wins out over everything, because like thinking about Sweden and Norway and Denmark, they were the first countries to legalize gay marriage. They were the first countries to legalize abortion. They were the first countries to legalize civil union before gay marriage. They were the first countries to legalize prostitution. They were the first countries to, you know, like, to like, you know, have a democratic socialist like system. They were the first countries to have like a very good welfare system. But even on top of all of that, you know, racism is just so attractive. They just can't help but be it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, interesting to me.
So. That reminds me of, did you guys see that piece that was in the New York Times? I think it was published either today or yesterday. It was, like, they had a meeting between Barry Weiss and, I don't know how to pronounce the other woman's name, Eve, like, Pazer?
I don't know.
They're, so, like... Barry Weiss is like an editor for like the New York Times opinion column, and Eve, I think, works for Vox or something like that. But they're incredibly different. They're like on very opposite ends of like the spectrum politically, and they had essentially had them like meet and like talk to each other, and the conclusion was kind of like, oh, like, we're able to, like, see both sides of the table, and, like, we have more in common than we thought we did. And it's like, yes, because you're both, like, really privileged white people.
Yep.
And it's just, like, it blows my mind that we're still, like, writing pieces like this. That, like, that there are, like, pieces that come out, like, every week that's, like, yeah, like, I can, like, see where they're coming from.
I'm kind of shit.
And it's like,
I'm kind of over this trend, which has started really post-Trump in America, this trend of, like, showing videos and conversations where, like, a right-wing person and a left-wing person is in conversation with each other, or they're, like, trying to, like, talk to each other, or they're, like, having a conversation. There's so many fucking videos doing that, I'm over it. Because you know what? They literally found the one, like, the one person from each side that want to have that conversation. But, like, most people who feel the way, like, we feel wouldn't want to sit there with a stranger attacking you everything that you are.
I also think that most people on the other side are also not interested in having this conversation because...
They're not.
I don't think they're interested in really seeing the other side either.
And it's like, and those things serve to, like, humanize... Come on, they're not serving to humanize the left wing. You know they're serving to humanize the right wing. And I'm like, I just don't give a fuck. I'm like done with these humanizing pieces. Like, I get it, but I just don't think that... I get it that those people are human too. I just don't think that, like, we need to write more pieces about that or to create videos about that for people having, like... I just don't think it's useful. No one's changing anybody's mind.
It just seems like bullshit content.
It is bullshit content. Like, it's not changing anyone's mind.
No.
So, let's focus on how to stop gerrymandering instead. But anyway... The next one, oh, let's focus on the... Actually, I don't really know how to reverse this next one.
Uh-huh.
But Amazon is coming to New York.
Long Island City.
Well, we can't reverse it.
I know. I know. Isn't that really crazy that sometimes you think about it, you're like, something's about to happen, and sometimes states or, like, the country makes you feel like you have the power to do it, even if you actually don't. But at least they pretend like you do, and they make you believe like you do somehow. But then something like this, they didn't even bother letting us pretend like we had some power to do something about it. Like, there wasn't, like, a referendum. There wasn't, like, a, let's talk about it for a little while longer or something. It was kind of like, this is the decision, and it happened
already.
Yeah.
And it happened already. And now it's happening.
I mean, it was actually confusing the way they did it because, I mean, like, the way that they handled, like, the announcement... And, like, kind of the dissemination of information made it seem like they had absolutely no idea that there would be such a blowback by, like, citizens in New York, which confused me. It's like...
I also feel like maybe they thought they weren't going to win the bid.
I think they knew they were going to win.
I don't know. Yeah, I just... And, you know, it makes sense Amazon's coming here as well, because also one of Amazon's biggest competitors is, like, Walmart/Jet, and they're in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So, like, set up home here and fuck them over, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess, well, so, okay, so let me ask you a question.
Mm.
If, because, like, how closely did you follow, I guess, like, this process of, like, Amazon finding a home for HQ2?
Not that closely. I mean, I've been hearing about it for months. Yeah. I heard about it when the bid started.
So the process
was going on. But I honestly didn't really think it
through. For a long time. Amazon essentially made themselves The Bachelor.
I know.
And had a bunch of cities competing... For, like, basically who would offer the most benefits in the form of, like, tax breaks and things like that. But I would like to know, like, if New York didn't offer anything to Amazon, right? Like, if Amazon just came out and had said, we need it, you know, we're opening up a second headquarter, we're growing as a company, and we decided to do it in New York. And that was it. Would this even be, like, much of a story?
No, if they did that, well, firstly, I don't think that they would do that, because I feel like cities always give you tax breaks. Like, if some other city heard about it, they'd be like, wait, don't do it in New York. If you do it here, we'll give you this tax break. So I feel like it would start a bidding war anyway.
I think...
If they didn't make themselves a bachelor.
I think my point is... The point I'm trying to make is not necessarily, like, what would have happened. I think it's like, If Amazon hadn't done it this way, and they had just come to New York, I don't think people would have been upset.
No, it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been as upset.
It's the fact that, like, they did it the way they did it, and the fact that they're getting $3.1 billion in tax benefits.
Also, because people, this is what I feel. I don't really know that much about economics or, like, business to, like, really know if my analysis is true. You can tell me if I'm wrong or not. But, like, I feel like if they didn't get the tax break and if they just came here like any other big company, because come on, like Google's here, Facebook's here, whatever, they came here like any other big company, it would take them longer to expand. So therefore it would gentrify surrounding areas at a way slower rate. Like the impact wouldn't be the same because they wouldn't be saving the amount of money needed to expand. Like the reason why they can come here and plop down a campus in Long Island City is because they're going to save $3 billion.
Yeah, I mean, so I think Amazon has so much money that I don't even think this... I think if they have enough money where if they wanted to do it without tax benefits, they could do it.
Like, they could, but, like, they probably would have waited.
Maybe. Maybe they would have. But I think that, like... I think the problem is, like, you as a New Yorker, and, like, especially people that live in, like, that area... I mean, I read something that, like, within the first 4 days, like, one, like, broker was reporting they had sold 150 units of like studios and one bedrooms in Long Island City, Astoria, and Greenpoint. And that's just one broker. Mm-hmm. But to me it's almost like you look at like the, I think you look at it as like, okay, like Amazon's coming, it's already decided. And you look at kind of like the pros and cons, and it's like, okay, like Amazon clearly is getting the better end of this deal. It's not New York.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's one thing if they came and they're going to pay, like, billions of dollars in taxes, and that's going to provide the city with enough money to fix the MTA, provide, like, affordable housing for homeless people, mm-hmm. to, like, put money into education. That'd be one thing. And maybe you could say, like, okay, like, New York is getting something substantial out of this as well from them being here. But they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, clearly Amazon is getting the better end of this bargain because they're the ones that don't have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And the fact that is like, you're giving this money to a company that doesn't fucking need the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true.
It just feels like, we got duped by Amazon.
And also, we are getting duped by Amazon. And also because they're surpassing city council to get the zoning and land use laws so they can, like, very quickly expand. Like, right. It's not going to be limited to where they start. It's just going to keep growing and growing. And it's also so crazy. I actually don't really know much about land zoning laws, and I kind of, like, looked into it a little bit with the election that just happened where we had to vote on the referendums and stuff. But, like, how did Queens, as a borough, not have a say in this? Or did they? Like, I don't understand.
So, I believe what they did because... So,
like, you can just do that?
Well, so Andrew Cuomo and de Blasio, I think...
It's the only thing they agree on. Those
pretty famously
fuckers.
Don't get along.
Yeah.
I think what they did in this is that they gave zoning laws over to the state. Hmm. Which was, like, a big thing for Cuomo. So, I think that... Cuomo is heavily in charge of the zoning for it, and because he's the governor, and because it's under the state, I don't think it really matters.
Well, it's fucking great.
And the other thing is, like, it's not an accident that they decided to open up a headquarters in New York and, like, Virginia, which is, like, close to D.C.
Right.
Because this now gives them, like, incredibly close ties to a lot of political capital. Which I think they're going to need because they're essentially a monopoly. Like, I know they have competitors like Walmart and Jet, but, like, no offense, but, like, Jet is not a real competitor. Amazon doesn't have a
Walmart,
real competitor.
But Walmart's still not a real competitor.
Yeah, that's
they're
what
not
I mean.
The same
like,
place. But, yeah, like, they don't want to be regulated.
Amazon doesn't have a real competitor. Yeah. Like, they are, with all intents and purposes, a monopoly.
Yeah, they are. Well, that's that. The world is shitty. Cool. But
on to lighter things.
Yeah, we do have our best stuff coming up right now. So, and my producer tells me, I'm gonna just say this before we leave off right now. Amazon stock is worth $1,700 right now.
Sick.
Yep. So, just their entire company is just worth $1,700. one share is worth $1,700. All right, next to. I mean, here's our next segment. Tears to tea! Pop, pop, pop! Thought I'd end up with Sean, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen to that. It's on everyone's tongue. Just like those candy that goes pop, pop, pop in your mouth, you know?
Pop
like,
rocks.
Pop rocks. That's right. It's just like pop rocks on everyone's tongue. Thank you, next. The song. The pop rock song of our generation.
Bacon eggs.
What? Wait, did you just say that to rhyme?
Bacon eggs?
Bacon eggs? What does that mean?
Bacon eggs.
Thank you, next.
Bacon eggs.
Okay. I don't know what that was about, but we are going to talk about Thank You, Next. All right. Has everybody seen the video?
Yes, obviously.
Okay, everyone's thoughts. Let's go. Pop, pop, pop.
I want you to go first.
Okay.
And I'm going to go positive first, and I just want
to
say...
It's okay, Nika. Chet just wants to mansplain Thank You, Next.
Yeah, let me mansplain the best parts of Thank You, Next. Was the things that made me the happiest watching this video was Kris Jenner as the cool mom.
Yes. Oh, yes. That was so good. That was the best surprise.
Was really, really great. I love that.
She did a great job.
Yeah,
she did. She was born for that role.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, she's been preparing for this role her entire life.
Yeah. Also, just like, some people asked me, they were like, oh my god, wasn't it so weird that she like trolled herself? But I'm like, is it weird? Because she does troll herself. Her entire show is about trolling herself.
Yeah, she trolls herself like all day. That is like her business.
Yeah, exactly. And she's so good at it.
I actually really like her.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Like, she's the best at trolling herself more than any of her daughters.
Yeah.
I think she just doesn't care. She knows like, because she's just like about the business.
She just, I think she just, I really like her, and I think that she is a boss. I mean, she obviously can be problematic sometimes, but I will say I do watch that show every once in a while, and I end up coming out of it really, really liking her.
Yeah, I've been watching this last season, and it's still pretty
good.
She's
one of the best ones, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah.
And my other favorite part, which I did not expect, but was very pleasantly surprised, was 13 going on 30.
Yeah. I know. I didn't know that that was going to be referenced.
I didn't either.
And so I saw the dollhouse and I was like, oh.
I love 13 Going on 30.
It's a good movie.
It's good really
movie.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I don't like about it is Mark Ruffalo. But anyway, yeah.
Whoa. What is
this? Hot take.
Slander.
You know what? I have never thought Mark Ruffalo is hot. I just don't understand.
Wow.
The appeal.
How am I just finding out about this now?
And you know what? Like, the fact that he plays the Hulk on Avengers is right, because the Hulk is not attractive to me.
But you like, find him charming.
In, like,
and
in Hulk?
Sweet
are you talking like in Hulk form?
Like, the fact that he would become Hulk, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's not that attractive.
Is he supposed to be attractive?
Isn't he supposed to? Like, some people.
The Hulk?
Right now, our producer is making very weird faces because she finds him very hot. Like, I don't know. Like,
Mark Ruffalo is hot.
I don't think so. I don't think he's, like, leading man.
Think he's supposed to be hot in 13 going on 30. I think he's just supposed to be,
He's supposed to turn hot later.
Hot-ish. I mean, I don't think he's supposed to be this, like, cover. He's not supposed to be Ken. You know, she dates a Ken. She has, like, in the beginning when she wakes up in her life, she's dating a perfect. He's, like, supposed to be, like, you know, boy next door. Nice.
Boy
sweet,
next
charming.
Door.
Yeah.
Receding hairline, curly hair.
Oh, God. What's wrong with
this? Boy next door. Most men have receding hairline, so nothing.
Okay. All right.
Also, Jennifer Garner is a saint.
Oh, my God. I love Jennifer.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
You know, she has a farm where she grows organic fruits and vegetables.
No.
Organic baby food.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah. That's, like, so much sweeter than Goop.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
A celebrity end of her that's
did you
actually
see,
charming.
Wait,
did you see the thing that was posted on Who
I
Weekly?
I love Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my god, I knew you would. You're so...
Did you...
You are literally so bougie that of course you love Gwyneth Paltrow.
I was looking at pictures of her wedding online and a little piece of my heart broke off.
Why? Because you wish it was you?
Maybe.
Gwyneth Paltrow? Like, I would...
So...
No.
This is a quote
I wish
that
I was part of the Goop Empire.
This is a quote that was... I saw in... on Who Weekly's page, and it's a Gwyneth Paltrow...
This is actually a sub-podcast of Who Weekly, by the way.
Yeah.
You're just gonna keep hearing about this other podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's a quote. It's Paltrow talking to a magazine, and she says, "Forgive me if this comes out wrong." I'm just going to read the quote, actually, just from front to end. It goes, "Forgive me if this comes out wrong," Paltrow continues, "but I went to do a yoga class in L.A. recently, and a 22-year-old girl behind the counter was like, 'Have you ever done yoga before?' And I literally turned to my friend and was like, 'You have this job because I've done yoga before.'" She's basically insinuating that she invented yoga, and the only reason why it's popular is because she does it.
Oh my god, I literally want to puke.
Yeah. She also recommended those, as like a gift. Do you remember this? Like these gold eggs that you're supposed to stick up your vagina, and they were like solid gold and like hundreds of thousands of dollars or something. And everyone was just like, "You are so out of touch with reality."
This chat's dream girl. Damn, listen, okay.
I promise that I'm only going to say one thing about her wedding. And it's that she hired a photographer for her wedding, obviously. She hired Lindsay Addario, who is a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer, for her work covering the war in Afghanistan for the New York Times.
Oh my god. Literally, that still means nothing to me.
Well, I mean,
are all of her sins forgiven? Is the sin of her claiming that she invented yoga forgiven because she hired?
I think you're completely misunderstanding what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying is that it's absolutely insane to hire a like
war photographer,
Pulitzer Prize winning like war photographer for your wedding.
Yeah,
she's out of touch. Well, she's seriously out of touch.
Sorry, I thought you were saying, "Look at how woke she is." She hired.
No. Listen, Gwyneth, if you're listening, send me an invite to the next Goop Retreat.
Wait, how were the photos of the wedding though? Did you see?
Oh, they were beautiful.
So the war photographer did a good job.
She did a great job.
Well, I forget how we got to Gwyneth. Oh wait, it was kind of like a jump from like, you know, 13 going on 30 reference. Thank you, next. Yeah. Mark Ruffalo, Jennifer Garner, the sweet
celebrity thing. Her like baby farm.
Oh, goop. Oh goop. Wow, that was
keep up, Ishmael. Pop.
All right, let's go back to Thank You Next. What's your next favorite thing? Anika, what was your favorite thing about Thank You Next?
Well, I was going to say Chris, but I loved all the actors coming back for the classic movies. Like, I loved seeing Jonathan Bennett, who plays the lead, the love interest in Mean Girls. I loved seeing, I can't remember her name, but the Legally Blonde, the best friend of Legally Blonde.
Didn't you think his hair looked sexy pushed back?
No, I'm talking about Legally Blonde.
No, I know, but before that, I'm
Jennifer Coolidge.
But yes, Jennifer Coolidge also was great.
Yeah.
The bend and snap scene was also great.
And wasn't the mailman there as well? He was
the mailman, the same guy, yes.
And then I loved seeing all the Victorious cast, minus one particular person.
Victoria Justice.
Which we can come back to. Yeah. But what did you think, Ishmael?
No, let's talk about Victoria Justice.
Okay.
I didn't realize. Actually, I thought.
What is there to say about Victoria Justice?
I thought I knew everything about this video possible, which I do mostly. 99.9% obviously, because I didn't realize that everybody from Victorious, that all the women were in it except for Victoria. But that's because in 2015, Ariana claimed that she was bullied on set and everybody thought it was Victoria, and then they like weren't good friends, and then Victoria had to come out and be like, these are just rumors. Like, she was talking about somebody else on a Broadway show that she did. I've never bullied her. And so, like, that rumor was laid to rest that they're, like, they don't have a good relationship. But now everybody's like, well, the rumor's back. And I found this out since you told me about this an hour ago.
There's something strange about their relationship. I mean, Ariana and the other lead of this show, Elizabeth Gillies, who's on Dynasty, that CW show, I don't think it's necessarily good, but she has a good part on it, and the CW is like a really it's like a reputable network, and but Victoria Justice is nowhere to be seen. I don't know what she's doing. I think she just didn't do well after this entire thing with Ariana Grande.
You know, it makes me think of like the celebrities that like can't find work after being like super famous for something. And then you're like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
Like,
I know one.
Who?
Cassie.
Oh my god, yes, Me and Cassie. You.
Have you
oh
she god, ever does, made any music she does, after
like,
that?
She does, yeah, I think she made, like, one song recently, but she does, like, she, like, hosts, like, award, like, shitty award shows.
Speaking of shitty award shows and people who are not doing anything with their lives, from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yeah, Frankie Muniz is actually hosting Dancing with the Stars Junior. And do you
not
know,
even the real one?
Not even the real one. So, you know, like, when you're having one of those days where you're just like, oh, life, right?
Yeah.
And then you just, like, want to watch a shitty reality TV show, but, you know, you just want a little different spin on it because you just want it to be a little bit more heartwarming than it normally is. Mm-hmm. Then you watch the junior version of it because, like, they're really tugging at your heartstrings then. So, like, I love MasterChef Junior. Great show. No, MasterChef Junior is actually really good. Yeah, it's really good. Like, I've watched full seasons of that show. Dancing with the Stars Junior, though, is not as good, but definitely have watched a few episodes of that. And Frankie Muniz is the host.
Is he a good host? How is he?
Honestly, he looks like he's coked out and he hates his life. It's honestly, he's the reason why I stopped watching that show, because he makes me deeply uncomfortable. Because I'm like, he, like, always says the same thing. I feel like he rehearsed what he wants to say to the kid. He'll always be like, wow, Joe. Okay, the kid is obviously not Joe.
Why isn't the kid Joe?
Why can't he be
Joe? Joe is not an old people name. Like, I don't know. Like, wow, Jack. Like, that was great. You really killed it, huh? And he'll say something like that. And to the next person, he'll be like, wow, Lily, you just rocked it. And I'm like, you're just saying the same thing. Like, what is happening? He, like, doesn't know how to speak to these kids because he, like, hates his life. And he, like, hosts it with another person. So it's, like, two people. It's, like, he's not even the only host. He's hosting it with another person who is a complete nobody. Literally. It's and also, you know how there's, like, a like, usually when there's a dance show, there's a host who's the main host who's in the bottom, like, right by the judges. So when they're done dancing, they, like, come to the host. And then the host, like, asks the judges, like, oh, what the scores are. Frankie Muniz isn't even the bottom floor. He's at the upstairs part.
He's not even he's not even the bottom bitch.
He's not even the bottom bitch. He's, like, near the part where, like, the parents sit by the screens. That's where he is. So that's...
Wow.
That's where Victoria's life is taking her. So, yeah.
I mean, I truly believe that they have drama, because why would she not come to a reunion with all of them? You know? There's something going on. Yeah. She has drama with one or the other, or...
I would like to say my third favorite thing about the Thank You Next video, mm-hmm. which I just remembered now, is shout out to Ariana Grande for promoting White Erasure. Because, you know, when they did the Bring It On scene, I thought she'd maybe be Isis from the Clovers.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Clovers are obviously way cooler than the Toros.
Yeah, obviously.
But she decided to be Torrance and totally just erased Kirsten Dunst from Bring It On, which is great.
Oh, did she?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. She's, like, the main girl on the Toros.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, shout out to that.
Oh, that's true.
Less white people.
Also, she did another thing which was cool. Shout out to our props team, that during the scene where she did the Legally Blonde scene, she was, like, sitting with her law books. The law book that she was reading was the Refugee and Immigration Policy.
Oh.
Law book.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Didn't notice that.
And another one was, like, it was, like, I forget. It was, like search and seizure, or, like, it was something about, like, it's basically about, like, when, like, police searches you without, like, a warrant or something mm-hmm. like that. But, like, those are very specific mm-hmm. things that were there. Yeah.
So, what did you actually think of the video?
I really liked the video a lot. I thought it was really interesting. Obviously, I'm a 90s baby, and whenever videos do, like, 90s, like, nostalgia shit, I'm, like, here for it, because, like, I guess that's one of the things about turning old.
I'm pretty sure none of those movies were actually made in the 90s.
Like, not 90s, they were all 2000s.
But it's what we grew up with.
It's like, if you're a 90s, if you're born in the 90s,
then you would watch that. Yeah, exactly. Then you'd be, like, old enough to watch those movies and be like, yeah, I'm really into it. Mm-hmm. And, like, Yeah, and also John Bennett literally, is that his name? Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally looks the same. Yeah, Aaron Samuels. He literally looks the same.
I had the
obviously they like, I'm sure they like digitally altered him a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
He had like no wrinkles. He had zero wrinkles.
He's not that old. He's like 10 years older than us.
I guess so, yeah. But he had zero wrinkles. That was crazy.
Neeks, did you like it?
I liked the video, but I will say something that I know is going to be a little hot take. I don't love Ariana Grande's music. I think that Thank You Next is an okay song.
It's a good song. It changed the landscape of pop.
That doesn't make it a good song.
I think it's a good song. Chad obviously doesn't think so either.
We disagree on a lot of things. Like, you also like No Tears Left to Cry, and I think that's a terrible song. And you also love Sweetener, and Sweetener sounds like nails on a chalkboard to me.
No, I love Sweetener.
I liked those songs. I didn't love Thank You Next. I mean, it's really catchy. I just didn't like it because of, like, the part where she's talking about, like, dating herself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sorry. Yeah, I'm just like, just the whole idea of like dating yourself or like marrying yourself is just like really corny and like lame.
It is corny, but pop music is corny.
I know, but that's like, it's just.
We like so many songs that are corny as fuck.
Yeah.
We're like eating it up.
Like, Sorry Not Sorry.
Sorry Not Sorry is a great song. Sorry Not Sorry is a great song.
But the one that we also like by Camila Cabello, look, those are like. We know those are corny, but it's like we know that they're basic, and we love that for like we love the fact that they're basic. I love being basic sometimes.
I understand what you're saying, but the reason why I think that is like it's like very different is because I think pop is known to be very impersonal, and like the lyrics are supposed to be very relatable, and like for you to make pop personal is not something that is normally supposed to sell. Mm-hmm. But. By her naming her exes or saying something very specific about her parents and like still it being a bop, it's like showing that there is like this little shift or like, or maybe she's the one who can do it because most people can't really do that in pop and like make something sell. So she's like, she clearly has this place in music now that like, she's like, you know, very Demi.
That's fantastic. Like, that's great. But I still don't find the song.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's, like, yes. Very different.
I understand what you're saying.
It's just, it's like, a pop song like that hasn't really, like, been so popular and such a bop that's, like, talked about specific people and talked about a recent event. And, like, she literally, also the music video is, like, I also thought the music video was funny because the music video references like microculture, the microculture of this moment. Like in the Burn Book, it references like Pete Davidson's dick by she wrote like huge and like stuff like that. Like I think it's also interesting. I think it happens in lots of music videos, but it's just interesting because she like. Obviously is trolling herself when she was she talked about like his dick being huge and that being like big dick energy or whatever, but like only we'll get this moment when we listen to this song and hear Pete's name and like watch this music video and like yeah I don't know I think it's funny the way she's like
kind of capitalizing
on it yeah and like not beating around the bush and pretending like it didn't happen. Just saying who it is and well, it's saying like she what
has
it's about.
Like, she has like cultural capital.
Yeah,
right. But like and so kind of
people,
a lot of it. Right.
So
now.
Many other people did though, but they don't use it like mm-hmm. that. Like Taylor Swift had cultural capital, but she's always like, "Oh, well, which her, exes is about? I'll maybe kind of
yeah,
tell you." But
hers
I don't.
Was like very different. Her and Ariana, I think, are very different artists.
No, they are. They in are. That way. They are. But that's why I just think it's interesting the way Ariana did it. Right? Mm-hmm. She like was like, "It is about
yeah, yeah
that and." Yep, this is about Pete's dick. So.
I didn't love the video.
Thank what?
I didn't like the
After
video.
After all
much.
That, you didn't like the video?
I liked parts of it, and I was like really entertained on the first couple times I watched it because of like those nostalgia things. But like, yeah, I didn't really like it that much.
But why didn't you like it? You just didn't find it captivating.
It just didn't make any sense at all. Like, there's no concept, right? It's just like there's a lot of ideas. There's four movies she pulls from, and she recreates scenes in it, but none of them have anything to do with each other. None of it makes sense. There's a time hop at one point, which doesn't make sense either.
Which time hop?
There's like a time... She, like, time hops to the future at one point, kind of. Like, she like go like
13 going
like,
on 30.
Time passes. And one of the parts of it, it just like none
when
of
it.
Was she
getting married or what? Not when she's like that weird marriage scene or.
I don't know. I'd have to like watch it again and tell you which part it was, but.
I don't think there's supposed to be like a cohesive concept like that. I think it's just like an homage to like shit that she likes, but like also then also commenting on her life through it. Like it doesn't have to be like the stories of those movies applied to her life, but she just like. I just felt like she's gone through a really hard year. She just wanted to do something fun, and she kind of just wanted to do whatever the fuck she wants, to do it with people that she likes, and to, like, honestly, that's...
No, I understand that. I just don't know if that makes a good video. I think it makes an entertaining video, or a fun video, but I don't know.
I think it was an entertaining video, and I guess, like, my attribution of it being entertaining makes it a good video. Mm. Because it could be different. Like, I see what you're saying, but like, yeah, I think it's a good video because I think it's like entertaining.
Mm.
And because I've watched it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
As long as video, I feel like music videos sometimes can be super high concepty and high art, and like that can make me want to watch something sometimes because it has a very like cohesive theme. Or it can make me want to watch it sometimes because it's just so fun. Like that, what's that song with the really great dance video?
Sorry.
No.
One had no, because remember he hired
those,
no
that like, girl who does like a troupe. Full almost continuous like dance song, like a dance scene.
Oh, Tiana Taylor and Kanye West video.
Mm-mm.
Well, she does it in that one too.
No,
it's
the one
take.
That me and Tyler like a lot.
Fuck. Sia.
Do you know what I'm company. Talking about? Company. Right? Company by Tinashe.
Yes.
Oh.
That video does not have a concept, but I love
no,
that video.
No, I just thought that maybe there would be, like, even, like, a story.
Hmm, yeah.
Or just, like, some, like, I don't know, just, like, something. It didn't really feel like there was, like,
anything.
I mean, like, I get it. Like, it was a lot of, like, inside jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of, like, really fun, like, things that she did.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. I thought there'd be, like, a story with, like, the Mean Girls thing, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or, like, from, like, the trailer, that's what I thought was going to happen.
The trailer did. I thought there was going to be a story, too. Because when I saw the trailer, I thought there was going to be a story. And that's why I didn't expect 13 going on 30 in it. Because I thought 13 going on 30 being thrown into the mix was really random. Because that story is, like, very different.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they're all stories about...
I
guess they're all stories about transformations, and they're just, like, women-led stories, but, like, there isn't a cohesive, like, concept, but, like, I just realized that they are all stories about, like, transformations. Like, like, all the women in there becomes a better person. It's not just, like...
Or, and become, like, stronger people.
Yeah,
like,
it's
stronger
not just,
people.
Like, a rom-com, really.
No, they do. They have, like, a glow-up, but, like...
They all find some kind of, like, higher growth or something.
Yeah, they have, like, an internal glow-up.
An internal glow-up.
Getting over the guy, too.
Oh, that is true.
And they...
Yeah,
no, wait, 13 on 30
true.
Ends up with...
It's a concept.
13 on 30, she ends up with Mark Ruffalo, though. She doesn't get over him.
And also in Mean Girls, she ends up with the guy, too.
Well, in Mean Girls... In Mean Girls, she's playing, like, Ari is Regina George anyway. So she's supposed to get hit by a bus.
Yeah, she's supposed to get hit by a bus.
So, I don't know.
But then she transforms. Like, Regina George becomes, like, a better person at the end. And she plays a lot of lacrosse.
She uses her anger in lacrosse.
Yeah. But anyway... We're almost out of time. But our last most exciting is it the most exciting thing? It's like the newest, coolest thing we found out today. Is that
it's not new actually, that's what's so embarrassing about it.
Is that Ezra Koenig and Rashida Jones are together.
It has
shocking. And they just had a baby named Isaiah.
I literally didn't know they even knew each other until an hour ago.
Yeah, me too. Rashida Jones is one of the most beautiful women ever. And Ezra Koenig, I mean, I like, his music is good, but I love Neo Yokio.
I think he's attractive, personally.
I don't think it's attractive, but...
I think he seems like a good hang.
He seems like he makes, like, funny anime that hits my niche interests.
I can't believe he's so talented.
He's
in a band, and then he also, like...
Makes anime about pop culture.
I want to know... They have good people.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, they've... I mean, I don't know how long they've been together for, but that they also had a baby. Like, I didn't know she was pregnant.
I didn't know either. Like, what? Wasn't she in the Drake video?
Yeah.
Was she pregnant in that?
But
shouldn't she have been pregnant in that video?
Maybe, but I mean, she probably wouldn't if they just had the baby now. The video came out kind of a while ago. No,
they had the baby in like September.
Maybe she was 3 months pregnant. You could barely see it, or maybe
I'm not super surprised that you couldn't see that she was pregnant in the video.
Maybe they shot it from this up, or maybe they put objects in front of her stomach. This is how they did Olivia Pope's pregnancy on Scandal. They always put, like, she would be holding a purse, or she would be standing, like, behind somebody, or she'd be standing behind a table. She'd wear, like, a lot of capes, a lot of, like, big coats. Olivia Pope wasn't pregnant. Kerry Washington was pregnant.
Kerry Washington, yes. I guess that's it for us. What we're going to do now is...
I love that we spent more time talking about Thank You Next than we did anything political combined.
Well, it is like, you know, like it's like the beacon of the cultural conversation.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Literally every single Mimi tweet is like, Thank You Next.
Mimi.
Like Mimi.
Oh.
Mimi.
I got made fun of in college for calling it Mimi. I thought it was...
You know, you called it a Mimi, dude.
That's wrong, too. That's wrong, too?
Yes!
If I called it a Mimi, it would have been right?
No, a meme. Like, I wanted to say Mimi. Like, when something is, like, icky, not just ick, it's, like, Mimi. Like,
oh, okay, so yeah, I was wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
I did call it a Mimi. Nobody said anything, though.
So, what we're going to do next is we're going to watch the first episode of the new season of Vanderpump Rules, and we will come at you in January 2019 with very nuanced analysis of Vanderpump Rules, and that is how we're going to spend our hiatus, and that is why we are going on hiatus.
focus all of our energy.
Happy holidays and happy new year. Sorry, I'm being really loud. Happy holidays and happy new year, and we'll see you in 2019. Thanks for listening to us. If you haven't written a review, please write one. And if you haven't followed us on Instagram, please follow us.
Give us 5 stars on iTunes.
Until we decide that, you know, this project
also sponsor
isn't going to work out anymore. But if you sponsor us, it will keep working.
Sponsor us. We will... I mean, at this point, I think we'll take almost literally any sponsor for almost any amount of money. So,
yep, you heard it here first.
All right, love you guys.